I'm reading from James chapter 3 and starting at verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, that's right, just walk away.
I don't want to talk to you when you're like this.
Well, go then. I'm not a word from you.
You see what you've done this time? This is all your fault. You're ruining this family. You're so bloody selfish.
Wait a minute. Let's have a read, shall we?
Get back, Tom.
He says I'm really mature for my age. Loser, more like.
Please,
is this
stop
your
it.
Boyfriend? He sits next to me in English classes. What boy would want to sit next to you? I can't believe you write this drivel. It's pathetic. Pathetic.
Do you think I'm here to clear up after you? You're useless. Do you know that? She's not here anymore, is she? To look after you. And it's not my job. Grow up, you worthless idiot!
Whether it's words, constant criticism, or even a silence, if you hear it often enough, you might start to believe it. This is emotional abuse. If it's happening to you, don't ignore it. You can talk to Childline.
Well, that's right, just walk.
Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Who learnt that as a child growing up? Nope, just not true, is it? It's a complete lie. Words can and do hurt. Just at the start of this talk, having watched that Childline advert, just to say, I'm going to be speaking about the words that we use. But I'm conscious that for some people, there are still words that have been said to you in the past that hurt. And if that's the case, we would love to pray with you today. So when the opportunity comes, Everton will remind us, and we just invite you to come out the front. And we'd love to just pray into those horrible words that someone might have said to you in the past. What we say can have a huge effect on someone for the rest of their life. And the Bible has a lot to say on the tongue. And it's possibly the hardest thing that when we become a Christian that we have to wrestle with. So probably a good idea to start with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that it offers to us, for the encouragement that it gives to us, and the life that it can breathe. Lord, take these words that I've prepared, and may we leave here transformed and renewed to know you closer and to follow you more every day. In Jesus' name, amen. And there was a study done a while back. You may have heard this before. And it reckoned that on average, men say about 7,000 words a day. Now, the same study, and I've said it the last two services, okay, I didn't do this study. It's been out a long time. But it reckoned that women say 20,000 words a day on average. I just said it, it's because men don't listen. Well, you can't say we're talking at the time. That's all I'm going to say. Now, more research has been done actually in America recently at a university that thinks it knows why. Something called the FOXP2, I think. I don't know. But apparently women have more protein in their bodies than men, and that's what causes to be more talkative. I don't know. I won't tell you how they've researched that, you'll be appalled. But even at 7,000 words a day, say that's the average you speak, that's still over 2.5 million words a year. 2.5 million words a year. Now that's a lot of opportunities, isn't it, for saying something wrong or saying something stupid. The Bible mentions many different kinds of tongues. A flattering tongue, a proud tongue, a lying tongue, a deceitful tongue, a perverted tongue, a soothing tongue, a healing tongue, a destructive tongue, a mischievous and wicked tongue, a soft tongue, a backbiting tongue. And Paul warns us in Ephesians that there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting. And in the Psalms, King David says, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. So we usually think of other parts of our body as being agencies of sin, but not our tongue. Whereas David says, I will guard my mouth. And here in the James passage that we heard comes perhaps the harshest words for the tongue, described as a world of evil, corrupting the whole body, a restless evil full of deadly poison. See, how we use our tongue has a huge significance on who we are. It affects how we are seen and viewed by other people. Just think for a minute of some famous people. You've never met them, yet you'll have an opinion on them. Maybe you've heard them speak, or you've heard them being quoted as having said something, or you've even read what they've said somewhere. I mean, if I was to say, for example, the Queen, what would you think of the Queen? What do you think of her? Amazing? A lady? Gracious? Loyal? Self-controlled? Has anyone ever met the Queen? You have? Wow, really? Two people? I did not expect two people to put their hand up and say, have you really? Have you? What? How? When you're in the army? Oh, excellent. So you can tell us if these things are true because you've met her. But we make these opinions, don't we? Without even meeting somebody, we've got an image of what that person's like. What if I said to you, Tony Blair? What would you think then? A little bit different, isn't it, the response? What if I said, and some of you might not know who this person is, Katie Hopkins? Now, for those who don't know who she is, you're thinking, why on earth has someone just gone, ooh? Well, that's the right response. It is, Sam. Katie Hopkins, for those who don't know, don't go and Google her. Don't. You're better off not knowing. But just for the purpose of this illustration, she has made herself famous by being deliberately outspoken, by deliberately saying things that offend other people. That's how she's become famous. And she's now managed to get a TV show out of it, amazingly. See, what we say affects who we are. It defines who we are. Now, I'm sure the Queen, recently, she did something different, didn't she? Because she was celebrating being the longest ever monarch. She actually spoke publicly, which was unusual for her, during the opening of the station up in Scotland. Something she wouldn't normally do. But I can guarantee every time the Queen says something in public, she will spend ages thinking about every single word. Every word. Because she knows how closely it will be scrutinised. She knows how quickly people will be to judge those words that she says. I remember another phrase growing up. We got two ears and one mouth, so listen. And yes, that's true. But it's always a bit easier said than done, isn't it? So the temptation's always there, isn't it? Every situation we face. The frustrations that we have. Those moments when we are tired or not feeling well. And you wonder, don't you, if the other person is deliberately trying to wind you up. Been there? It becomes hard, doesn't it, to control your tongue. Well, I can promise you that having been ordained now for over a year, it does not get any easier just because you're ordained to control your tongue. God doesn't zap you with some special powers. I wish he did. It'd be a lot easier, but it doesn't. And in actual fact, if you look at the start of the passage that we heard, it says that not all of you should want to be teachers because they'll be judged more harshly, more strictly. Why? Well, this is the third time I'm giving this sermon this morning. Now, if I'm saying something stupid, I'm impacting a lot of people. A lot of people. And you go away thinking about what I've said. Well, I hope you do. So it's right that I be judged more harshly. It's right that my words should be judged more strictly. I've been given a responsibility of care. But even outside of church, it's a constant battle, isn't it? But it's a crucial one. See, when James was writing this, he still speaks of how humans have been able to tame all kinds of animals, but not the tongue. Now, if James was around today, I'm sure he'd be pretty impressed by the accomplishments that mankind's managed to do in the last couple of thousand years. But nobody still managed to tame the tongue. The hard thing is that sometimes, even when we try to do the right thing, we end up saying completely the wrong thing. Who's been there? Good intentions, but oh boy, do we get it wrong. Even the Queen, think back to when Diana died. She was silent. She chose to say nothing. And she was, well, you remember the backlash. It's not easy. The right intention is just looking after her family, but the backlash that she got. And there's a great biblical example, actually, from the gospel reading that we would have had today. In Mark's gospel, where Jesus asks the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they tell him. And he said, who do you say that I am? And there's a wonderful moment where Peter seems to get it. And he says, well, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the one we've been waiting for, Jesus. And you think, wow, the disciples, it's clicked. Here it is. And then Jesus goes on to share what's going to happen. He predicts his death, tells them why it's going to happen. And so Peter takes Jesus aside. He says, Jesus, look, I don't know what you're saying all this nonsense for. You're not going to die. I'm not going to let it happen. Or modern translation, perhaps we'd say, over my dead body is that going to happen? No. Now, I think for most of us, we'd probably like to feel love like that, wouldn't we? That someone cares that much about us, that they're saying, there's no way I'm going to let anyone get to you. No way. I will protect you with everything I have. We'd think, oh, this guy really loves me. I feel special. But what is it that Jesus says? Who knows the story? What does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Harsh words, aren't they? But you see, what Peter's actually said is going against God's will. He wasn't thinking about God when he was saying it, or what God might even want. And so Jesus recognizes those words from Peter, as flattering as they were, as nice and good-intentioned as they were. He sees those words from Peter's tongue as being from hell itself. Something that James describes the tongue as being set on fire by here in this passage. So you kind of come to a point when you read this passage where you start scratching your head a little bit. Because you think, well, what on earth are we meant to do about it? We can't control it or tame it. It has the power to set a course for our entire life or the lives of those around us. It's a way in which we'll be judged by God. And even when we think we can be doing something right, we're not. What are we meant to do? And it gets worse because it even goes on to say, well, coming to church and praising God isn't enough, because it gives the warning. Verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So even praising God isn't enough, because they were doing that. Now, the answer might not come directly in this passage we heard read. But if I was to give you this verse from John chapter 7, verse 46, small verse, and it says, no man ever spoke the way this man does. No man ever spoke the way this man does. Now, that was said by the temple guards. They came back and reported that back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who'd sent him off to arrest Jesus. But instead of arresting him, they watched and they listened and they came back and they said that no man ever spoke the way this man does. And I think in that statement, it holds the key to controlling the tongue. At the start of the James passage, it said, we all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now, this is a bit riskier to do this in this service because I can see my wife sat at the back. But I'm not perfect. So I need to be constantly aware. Watch what I say. Reflect on what I've said. Because there is that possibility. I might have been wrong, but I whisper that. I don't think she's listening. We're all right. And I'm sure you all know you're not perfect. I can say that confidently because there's only one person who's ever been perfect that's walked this earth, completely without sin. 1 Peter 1 says, the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You see, Jesus was able to control his tongue. He spoke like no man had ever spoken before. He was perfect. And because of his death and resurrection, we too can now control our tongue. Hebrews 10 says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. We are on this ongoing journey of transformation, becoming more like Christ, being made holy, being sanctified. So just as James said the tongue can be set on fire by hell, now it can also be set on fire by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what happened at Pentecost? How does it describe the fire? What did it look like at Pentecost? Tongues. Not a coincidence that that's the word that was chosen for what the fire looked like. So the tongue is a fire starter. We got to the title of the sermon eventually. The tongue is a fire starter, setting on course the direction of your life and the direction of those lives around you. So the question comes, where is the fire coming from? Heaven or hell? Now the gospel passage for today, it goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say this, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now you're probably well aware of that bit. But here's the next bit. "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. If anyone's ashamed of me and my words, then I will be ashamed of you when I return." Harsh words. Watch your tongue. See, for some strange reason, God chooses to use us to grow his kingdom. And all we have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to set our tongue on fire. If we stay lukewarm and praise God in church, but then when we're out there, well, we just kind of just join in with everybody else, then we're not going to be growing the kingdom. We become a barrier to the kingdom because we become a hypocrite. That's what happens. We live two lives. Now, as I said, this is such a hard area. It really is. Remember how many words we speak every day. It's tough. It is. And I have to be honest, this is probably, in preparing a sermon, one of the hardest sermons I've ever had to prepare, because it forces me to look back at what I've said and to question and to say, was it okay what I said? But that's why we need other Christians around us, who we can be accountable to, who we can be open with and open to correction from. Friends, prayer partners, cell group leaders, church leaders. But just a little warning, if you do ever try to correct somebody, the Bible's pretty hot on that, on how you do it, because you're bound by the same rules. So watch your tongue too. It's so easy to fall at this hurdle, because you can become very arrogant very quickly. That's why James says, but if you do get it right, then you can see huge results that you never thought possible. That's why James says, "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." So let's be humble and gentle with each other. Let us constantly seek the Holy Spirit to control our tongues, to set them on fire, that we may be constantly transformed into the likeness of Christ and see God's kingdom grow here on earth. Amen.